There's a real anointing here tonight to feel the presence of God in a way we've never felt it before. God wants to break through into new ways into our lives this weekend. He wants to break us out of boxes, break us out of ruts, break us out of tradition, our own traditions that we have in New Church, in River Church. He wants to break us out of those things into new places.
You know, at the risk of being forward, being your guest, and thinking about the spaces that Alistair was talking about, and just want you to take a moment and look down at this carpet. Find one little square. Do you find it? If you look at it, if you just let your eyes go a little bigger, you'll see four, tied together by those lines that you thought separated them. And then all of a sudden you see nine. And then you see who knows how many. And then you lose track. And I just took a little stroll around this room. And I was thinking about how sometimes we feel like one little box. And we are surrounded and we're jammed in. And every time we visit England, I feel the space crunch of life. And it's a wonderful place and we love it. But the journey that you have here and the steep hills that you have here and walking with Christ, it's a powerful thing, and I don't think you fully understand the burden that you bear. It's a big burden, and sometimes you can be pressed into this little square, and I just felt like God spoke to my heart. You're walking around here to say, you are not alone. This whole carpet is one big rectangle, and we're all in it, and you are not alone. We are together in the body of Christ, and we are one. Don't ever forget that.
Amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Kerry, where are you? Kerry, do you want to... I think it's time for you to introduce Darry and Bonnie to us.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. That was absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. Okay, good evening, everybody. Wow, there is a lot of you. It's my very great pleasure this evening to introduce Darry to you. And Darry's going to be speaking to us in some of the main sessions, especially tomorrow morning. And right this evening, what we'd like to do is we'd like to get to know a little bit about Darry, the man, rather than Darry the church or Darry the ministry. So Darry, can I welcome you on up here? Come on up and take a seat. And I literally only met Darry for the first time a few hours ago, and it was a huge, huge pleasure.
He is a really warm,
genuine, loving person, and I really commend him to you this weekend. So, Darry, it's lovely to have you with us. You've brought Bonnie, your wife, with you.
Thank God.
She is lovely as well. So, Darry, who else makes up your family?
We have three kids, and they're all grown. And have moved out of the home. That's an interesting stage in your life, which we love our kids. We loved it when they were there. I remember saying to our church when our last one moved out, I said, it's kind of weird right now because the dogs died, the cat died, the kids all moved out. Life's pretty good. That's terrible. I shouldn't start like that. But. No, we love our kids. Ryan, who is a golf professional in Arizona, and then Erica, who is married to Brent, and they have one son, our only grandchild, and that just happened about 9 months ago, so that's been really fun. And then our youngest, Brookie, who lives in Denver, just about an hour away from us. So we have wonderful kids that love us, and we love them, and we're proud of them.
That's absolutely fantastic. And we're delighted to welcome you to the UK.
Thank you.
And it is a very special weekend in the UK, not just because it's Riverfest, but we have some sporting things going on in the UK.
We've got
Wimbledon tennis this weekend, the finals. Yes. Dave is really out for that. We've got the British Grand Prix happening about an hour away. We've got the Tour de France starting in Yorkshire. Yeah, the cyclists are happy. And obviously there's the quarterfinals. I understand, though I know nothing about football, of the World Cup. Sorry that the US went out.
I know, it's very
I think
sad.
England did as well, didn't we? So.
I was going to say, was England even in the bracket?
Yeah, thanks for that, Darry. Thanks for that. I was going to say something nice, like my son told me that the USA were robbed and they should have stayed in, but, you know, what can I say?
Well, we were fortunate, actually. We were pretty thrilled to get as far as we did because we don't play as well as you guys do. We haven't played it as long, but it's catching on. It's, like, huge in terms of the world, and football to us means something different than you. But we're learning that you're right, and so we're humbly admitting that.
So what's your sporting passion then?
You know, Bonnie and I really love the outdoors, just about anything that's outside. We love hiking, camping, going up in the mountains of Colorado. It just kind of it's a wonderful thing. You can't beat it, you know? And so we enjoy that a lot. We do enjoy American football and some sports like that, but mostly we love hanging out.
I'm supposed to ask you what your team is, I think, but I don't know anything about American football either.
How many of you have ever heard of the Denver Broncos?
Yeah,
okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's our team. That's just down the road, and we've been following them for a lot of years and big fans, and we're season ticket holders for a while and just had a ball following them. And they went to the Super Bowl and did horrible, and I wish they would have played in the Super Bowl but not just gone there. But, that's how it goes.
So, Darry, tell us. Oh, hello.
Hi, sweetie. How you doing?
What's your favorite thing to do for fun? When you have a bit of time, what do you like to do?
You know, Bonnie and I, we have a motorcycle that we just love to ride together. Bonnie loves riding, and so we have I don't think I would want to ride here. I see these guys on these bikes going through these cars, you know, and I'm thinking, Bonnie, would we ever want to do that? I don't think so. But we like touring, so we'll take some time, and we went up into Canada and really took some time and just rode all around, and not too many miles each day, but just that space, I think, that we have, seeing the countryside and being together. We have these little intercom things that we can talk to each other, and so we have these long conversations that are wonderful. And then if you get tired, you can just turn it off. And you know. She's usually the one that turns it off.
So, Darry, you are the lead pastor of Timberline Church.
Yeah.
How did you become a Christian?
You know, I was raised, my parents were pastors. And there's five of us kids. I have four sisters, two older, two younger. I always tell them it's like an Oreo cookie. All the sweetness is in the middle. And they don't like it when I say that. But we have a great family. My dad was a pastor. And so we all came to faith at a really young age. I kind of brought up that way. And I've always just had a heart for God. I can't really explain it. I used to feel like back in the 60s and 70s in the States, we had all these like testimonies. The hippies started getting saved, druggies started getting saved, and I didn't even have a testimony. You know, I've never been a prodigal. I've never walked away from God. I went straight from high school to Bible college and went right into full-time ministry. And this lady came up to me one time in the church when I said, you know, I don't even have a testimony. She said, your testimony is that you didn't mess it all up, that you followed God, you know. So I'm really thankful for my testimony. That's that's my new testimony. But that's how I came to faith. It was interesting. My dad died of cancer when I was 14, and it left my mom with an 18-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, me, a 12- and a 9-year-old.
Wow.
And that was a huge pivotal in our lives that's where I really learned about Abba, Daddy God. Yeah. And he truly became my father. And as the only male in our home, it just thrust me into a leadership role that I feel like I got a little robbed of some of my childhood dreams. Mm. But I feel like God really did prepare me for the role that he had in mind.
And you were telling me earlier on that you've been in Timberline Church for about 28 years, I think you were saying.
Yeah, they took us in as babies, really. We were like 27 years old. I'm 55. And we went to this church that was tired. They were pretty worn out. They were mostly about what my age is now. And we couldn't understand why they wanted this young couple to come, about 70 adults. And we just said, if you really want us to come, we just want you to know we're going to be very outward focused and we're not stuck in tradition at all, and we're going to try some things. You know, I tell Timberline all the time, they could finish this quote, let's try this, and if it doesn't work, we'll go back to what wasn't working before. And so that's kind of our story. So, you know, they've put up with us a lot of years. I've had to undo a lot of things that I did too quickly. You know, as a young leader, you kind of rush to conclusions and you want to get these things done. And so I've made a lot of mistakes. And They've been gracious enough to let me say I'm sorry, and that wasn't very good thinking. But we try stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think the journey together is we sort of just got married to them, and they released us to go reach our city. And that's kind of what's happened.
Mm. And you said something lovely to me earlier on about the fact that you guys felt that you didn't come in to do something, but actually you got caught up in what God was doing.
Yeah.
Explain that to us. That was lovely when you were talking to me about that earlier.
Yeah, really, really true. We're not special. Like, we don't feel like we have some great leadership thing or some great gift that no one else has or something like that. What's happened to us, Bonnie and I talk about this all the time, some of our dear friends in ministry, I feel like they work harder than we do. They're more spiritual than we are. They study harder. They preach better. They have so many more components, but this hasn't happened in their ministry. And so it's very humbling to say we feel like God just brought us along. It's like, I love the name River Church, by the way. You guys have an awesome name because you can be brought along. And that current, when it's a great current that you're safe in and God puts you in, and it stays in that realm. I mean, it can be wild and there can be dangerous moments. Mm. But I feel like we've been sort of taken with God, with all of these people in a journey that has really blessed us and our community and the world in many ways.
Now, your strap line for your church is "Let Love Live." So what is that? What's your personal heart in that?
Strap line. Have you ever heard that before, babe? Strap line.
That's a good word, isn't it? Is that the right word? That's
strap
the right,
line.
That's the right English word.
I like it. I learn all these phrases when I come. I can't believe. The other day, we were in the car with Jeff and Kay, Lucas, and we got in this line of traffic, and she said, "Chock-a-block."
Yes. That's a good one. We like that one too.
And I said, we're gonna have chocolate. What is it? I'll have a block of chocolate. She said, oh no. I mean, anyway, strap line. Let love live. I was actually, someone kind of challenged me. This was years ago. Mm. What is Timberline all about in one sentence? Yeah. And I said, I had no idea. So I really prayed about it. I took it seriously with sweaty palms, kind of like, I got to figure this out. What is our mission? What's a one? And I was standing, I could take you to where I was standing in our old facility, and I just had those three words pop out. It was the Matthew passage that said, when they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Mm. Now, when someone asks you that, the answer is going to be big, right? I mean, what's the greatest commandment of everything? So, and what did he say? He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And it just hit me, that's letting love live. Yeah. The love of God is alive and well. It's people who screw it up. Could you say screw it up here?
Yeah, okay. We do. Yeah.
So, it's not a bad word or anything, though.
No.
Okay. No. You never know.
That looks shocked when you use a bad word.
It was so embarrassing. Some of the words that you guys have, like Malcolm Gorda, some of you might know him, was leading worship at this event we were in, and he had these cool trousers on. I got up and I said, Malcolm, I love your pants. And he was like, Jeff jumped up and said, he means trousers. You never know. But that whole idea of let love live is this passion. I want to be a part of a church that has a passion to never quell the love of God, to always be resilient in letting that love bounce out. Mm. Bounce out of your difficulty, bounce out of your trial, bounce out of your success. No matter what you face, the love of God bounces out of you because there's something powerful when you really love God with your whole heart, mind, body, soul, and strength.
That's fantastic, isn't it? So, Darry, what would you say has been the greatest challenge that you've faced with God? And how have you got through that?
Wow. She didn't give me a list of questions before.
I did say that earlier, but you didn't quite clock it.
Well, I have had a lot of challenges. I think the death of my dad was a pretty big one as a kid. And then as an adult, I think probably the most frustration, when I feel frustration, it's around the idea of I just can't lead this anymore. Like, it's this overwhelming feeling of being like, I never want to be the ceiling for Timberline, ever. The minute my leadership becomes the top and we can't break out of that, I'm done. And I know God, I've really prayed that earnestly. Two times in these years I've almost left, we've prayed earnestly about it. I've kind of taken a 2 or 3 day break away and fast and pray and say, God, I'm done. I think I'm the ceiling. I think you need somebody who's a better leader. And both times I feel really strongly that God has said, I'm going to put people around you, embrace them, trust them, do this as a team, don't carry this by yourself, and they'll help you expand your leadership skills. Because sometimes leadership skills, it's not always about praying more or being more spiritual or trusting God at a different level. Sometimes church growth is stymied because of a structural issue. And it's not that spiritual. It's just a little thing. It's like a river. When the beavers come in and build the dams, it's gonna back up. And without some moments of releasing that, and I think there have been many kind of places in the life of Timberline where we've found those places that kind of backed us up and we couldn't flow and we couldn't go forward. And so those are probably my biggest challenges of never wanting to mess it up. You know, I really am sensitive to that.
That's fantastic. And your church is called Timberline Church, which is because it's on Timberline Road or whatever, but right. There are some really interesting spiritual reasons behind Timberline, aren't there, which I think are fantastic. Can you explain those to us?
Thank you. You must have visited our website.
Have indeed.
Well, yeah, one of the things that we did is when we relocated, we built this big building over on Timberline Road. We bought these 35 acres and said, well, let's just, for the glory of God, let's come together and do this thing. And so we did, and we said we don't want it to just be Timberline Road geographic area. But in Colorado, if you know anything about Colorado, one of the things we are known for is really big mountains. And we have peaks that are what we call 14ers. It's 14,000 feet, which would be what, 4,000 meters for you guys about?
I have no idea.
Somewhere in there. And so we have 54 of those peaks that are above 14,000 feet. So a lot of hobbies is climbing the 14ers, and it's dangerous, it's big, it's snow and ice and all kinds of stuff. And so we said, let's connect with the Timberline. The Timberline is a noun, and if you Google it or look it up, it actually is about 11,000 feet above sea level. Trees stop growing. And it becomes rocky, and the vegetation completely changes. And so we said, let's associate with kind of three ideals about the Timberline. First of all, at the Timberline is a place of change. Yeah. And so we said, let's be a church where we jump on that metaphor to say, we will always pray that Timberline Church will be a place where people's lives are changed. Yeah. The landscape of their life will change.
Amen.
The second thing that we love about the Timberline is that life at Timberline goes deep and thorough. The ecosystem up there, if you ever study it, life survives because it works together and goes underground and locks. And that's why the winters don't destroy it. And so we said, let's build a church where people can go deeper together than they ever have before and lock. And when the winters come and the storms come in their life, they will be secure, and they won't die in them.
Yeah.
And then the third thing was, if you've ever climbed a 14er, the view is just amazing. And we have a lot of blue sky days, over 300 days a year, sunny blue sky. But we've been here for 3 days. This is the third day. First 2 days, I didn't believe you had clouds in England. It has been beautiful. But we said, it's so beautiful. Let's say that the Timberline Church will always be a place where God's power and beauty is seen. And so it's simple and yet profound in that we go deep with God through small group and relationship. We have the power of God, which is seen and felt and understood in our church. And then there's this idea that we can trust Him when we make changes, because Timberline will always be a place of change.
That's fantastic, isn't it? And you can hear from that, guys, can't you, that it's phrased in a different way, but isn't that the essence of our heart here in River, which is why we get on so well with Darry. Darry, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you, and we're really looking forward to having you speak to us tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, you guys. Look forward to it.
Which one are you going to sit on? This one. One thing that obviously Darry didn't tell you was that he met Bonnie they were very young. I found this out in the car yesterday. They met each other very young in their young teenage years, teenagers in love and all that. Fantastic. That's really good. And you'll never guess where Darry took Bonnie on their first date. Timberline. Well, Timberline didn't exist at that time. He didn't take him up to the mountains. No, he should have taken her to the mountains, but actually took her to church for the first date.
Wow.
That's it. Pretty amazing. Fantastic. So, follow that. So, guys, I wanted to ask you, where...
It's been great knowing you.
Where did Carl take you, Mel? First of all, how old were you when you first met, and where did he take you on your first date?
Do you know, I can't remember. It's that long ago.
You can't...
We were
do 18, we believe that?
18 when we got... 18. Did we get engaged at 18? Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yes, and got married at 19. First date, I don't think there was. I think it was a horse's field. Actually, I will explain that.
Please do.
I had horses.
Please do before we
I used to work
get
with
complaints.
Horses. So that I think that was it, wasn't it? We met up in a horse film. That was it. That was as good as it got, really.
That's as much as we're going to tell.
Yeah. Don't go any further.
Good. Do you guys have a family at all?
Yes, we do. Well, I have one son. His name is Nathaniel. And he's... Oh, he'll be 24 next week.
No way.
Yeah.
That's impossible.
I know.
He's adopted.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
And he's adopted.
No, he's not adopted. He's not adopted. He's engaged to a young lady who's from Rio, and she's over here at the moment doing her PhD and in gamification. Please don't get me to explain that, as it's over my head. And so, yeah, Nathaniel. One boy.
And what was it that made you fall in love with this guy?
Well, I didn't at first.
You didn't? Ah, okay.
I actually, it was actually...
Come here, we need a hug again.
I have to be honest.
At least I've got you, Cole.
I have to be honest with you. It was actually my friend that really fancied Carl. And I was actually encouraging her to go out with him. Because I thought he's not really my cup of tea. At all. And so, yeah, he won me over, Colin.
She saw me in my Speedos and that
no,
was it.
No, stop it.
It was like...
No, that probably would have put me off more than anything else.
Fantastic, yes. Were you a bodyguard at the time, Carl? I know you've had a varied career. What has your career been like and what do you do now?
Okay, well, I started selling carpets on Wembley Market. Then I sold soft porn on the market.
Oh, my word.
You did ask.
Yeah, I did. I wanted to find out what you did.
And then I sold stolen records and tapes on the market. And that was all whilst I was in leadership. Is that okay?
Carl,
you're messing. Then I got saved. I was a storeman selling gunpowder and glue on the black market. Got saved. And then I... Then I married Mel and decided to do something proper. So I went into retail, managed various stores and stuff like this. Mm. Then I was a car salesman for 5.5 years. And I think that's where I learned all the tricks of the trade in the ministry. So, and then I've been on and off ministering part-time, full-time for about 20 years. So.
Fantastic. Okay. Yes, well, I might have done, actually. This weekend's all about face to face, and about coming face to face with God, or also face to face with one another. How did you come face to face with God, Mel? What encounters have you had that have brought you to that place of intimacy with Jesus?
How long have you got?
About 5 minutes.
Oh, oh my goodness! I've had encounters, heavenly encounters, since I was a little girl, and experienced Jesus in a very powerful way when I was about 4 years old. And we lived on a farm. My parents weren't Christians, far from it. And am I allowed to say?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course. Yeah,
my parents were quite heavily involved in the occult, as in Ouija boards. So when I was growing up, when I knew that they were having these Ouija board moments, because some of the demonic used to come up and try and torment me as a little girl, and that's when God just totally intervened. I cried out to him one day, and he came into my room, and then that was it. That was my encounter with Jesus, and I have never looked back. And I, from then on, really, I just grew up having quite supernatural experiences of God. So, but that is a very long story.
I guess if you want to hear the rest of that story, you'd have to grab Mel at some point and have lunch with her or something, or breakfast, and ask the stories. I'd like to hear some of those stories myself sometime. Carl, has life always been a bed of roses for you?
It hasn't begun yet. Bed of roses, what's that? No, not at all.
So, how do you keep going? I know your story. I know there's been quite a few real tough trials in your life. You know, how do you push through on those times?
Well, I think for me, when you live so much of your life as I did, nearly half my life without God, and then you taste of Him and you see Him, I have to say I'm quite a simple guy, and once you experience that love. Having never experienced it on an earthly sense in my life, there really is no turning back. And, you know, tough times come, but He's the constant. You know, He's the anchor. He's the one who makes Himself available to us. And I have to say, it is simply that once you've tasted of it, it did something inside me. As a kid, I didn't commit to much, but I had this deal with Jesus when He came into my life that if He revealed Himself to me, He could have my life. And for 30 years, He's been revealing Himself.
Come on. Fantastic. Fantastic. And one of the things that I really love about you, Carl, the way that you minister, is you always you love people so much. Mm. Why do you love people so much?
Yeah, I don't know why. No. Well, again...
Because I know people have let you down.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite a lot, quite often really bad. I mean, seriously, guys, I mean, it's been through some tough stuff and been let down really deeply. How do you carry on loving people through those times?
Well, I didn't always love people.
No.
And even when I first got saved, and then you discovered that this gift that I had since a child, and it wasn't quite used in the right way. And then, you know, as we grew up in the church in the mid-80s, I thought it was all about exposing people, and you know, and you've got to win them by telling them how bad they are. And then I went through quite a particular bad period of my life, mm-hmm. where I went to commit suicide. And the morning I went to commit suicide, I saw Him face to face. He appeared towards me.
Wow!
And He said to me, "I was going to die, but not in the way I think." And He began to teach me about His love for humanity. And it suddenly made me realize that God made every single human being that's walking on this earth. Mm. And if we are anything in His eyes, then we are to reach out into that eternity He's put in every heart. And I truly believe this, that no one is beyond an encounter with God. Mm. And I have to believe that. Do I see it everywhere I go? No. But I have to believe it. And I have to be able to look past what I may perceive them to be or think them to be. And really, I don't care what state they come in. It really doesn't offend me. And, you know, but that's because there's been a journey. But for me, I just think if I've tasted of this God that's so real, then why would I not want anybody else to experience that? And that's what drives me.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And to love is not a feeling. It's an act of will. Mm-hmm. You've got to find that place sometimes, you know. I mean, I find people... You know, who are murderers, child abusers, you know, but because I had all that in my family, it's like everywhere I meet somebody that's really bad, I've only got to look at my own family and see that they were like them anyway. Mm. And that yet they met Christ.
Come on.
So yeah, that's what drives me really.
Mm. Come on. Fantastic. It's fantastic. Well, we're really looking forward to getting to know you guys a whole lot better over the weekend.
Come on.
And it's really good to have you with us, and be free to be yourself and to bring whatever the Lord shows you.
Brilliant.
Good.
Good. Well done, Cole. No deep theological questions.
He was terrified.
I was.
I was going to ask you something deep and theological, but we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. But we do want to meet with Jesus, don't we? And these guys are going to really lead us into encounters with Jesus. We're going to love each other and reveal the love of God through what we do. And we need to start as we need to go on, guys, right now. I think we need to start as we need to go on. And really just bless one another, pray for one another. God is here right now by his Spirit to meet the needs of his people. It says, boldly come before the throne of grace that we may receive help in our time of need. And I just want to finish this first evening just by us pressing into that place again with Jesus. And can you come up and play for us, the band? That'd be really good. Kerry, thank you. And some of us need to pray with our neighbour sitting next to us in our seats right now as we press in for this weekend. Prophesy over one another. Speak words of hope into one another's lives and one another's hearts. Some of us need to come out the front here and kneel before God or come and stand before God. And actually, the leadership teams of the churches and Darry and Bonnie and Carl and Mel and myself and the teams, we'll pray with you for an encounter with Jesus tonight. That your encounter face-to-face with God will begin right now. We don't want to waste this. This is a precious moment for us. Really precious. It's precious in God's sight too. So let's really use these few minutes before we go and relax and enjoy the bar and whatever other else things is going on. But let's use these moments to push into the presence of God. Yeah? So let's stand, guys. Let's stand. Come on. And if you want to pray with your neighbour, please pray with your neighbour. If you need a touch from the Lord, you want to come down at the front and be prayed for, then let's press into that moment. But Jesus Christ is here, the God who loved you enough to hang on a cross. Jesus.